Serial Entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome to Startups Magazine podcast, The Serial Entrepreneur. My name is Anna Flockett, editor, and today I will be your host. I'm very excited to be speaking to Dr. Anas Nader, co-founder and CEO of Patchwork Health, a platform which is allowing NHS staff access to flexible shifts and means hopefully they get a better work-life balance. Of course, being in the health sector means a very busy time right now. So Anas, first of all, thank you so much for finding the time and being on the show today. How are you?
Thank you very much, Anna. I am good and thank you for having me on the show. It is indeed strange times, but at the same time, we are trying our best to do our bit, supporting the NHS as much as we can. But yeah, excited to be on today.
Thank you. So first of all, I thought we could start with maybe you telling us a little bit about Patchwork Health in general, how it works, just a bit about the company.
So as a doctor by background, I have always appreciated that healthcare, a career in healthcare historically has been very rigid in its structure. So as a doctor or a nurse, you graduate from medical school or nursing school, and then you're off to your career up until retirement, working with, you know, going through postgraduate training, specialist training, and then onto the job right away as a consultant or a nurse, and then with very little flexibility built into the system. So I've always appreciated what the challenges are like for a healthcare professional who's looking for more flexibility and more of a diverse career. And that was born out of my own personal experiences, because I wasn't one of those medics who went straight to medical school from, you know, high school or secondary school. I had a career in building products in healthcare and writing code or creating animations prior to deciding to study medicine. So I was one of those mature students who went back to university to study medicine. So I've always been interested in different things. I've always had my own hobbies or other professional interests that I wanted to pursue in addition to a career in medicine. But as I found out, I wasn't the only one. And the story varies, but there's always one universal commonality amongst my colleagues, which is I am more than just a doctor or a nurse. I'd like to do everything I'm passionate about. And that was my understanding up until I joined Chelsea and Westminster Hospital as a clinical innovation fellow. So I graduated out of medical school, worked as a junior doctor for a few years, and joined Chelsea and Westminster Hospital to work part of an innovation team to look at different challenges that the hospital is going through and what innovation can be brought to solve some of their problems. And one of the things they wanted me to look at was the challenge of temporary staffing spend. So many NHS trusts rely heavily on recruitment agencies to plug in gaps in their rotas. So, you know, whether these gaps are short-term gaps because someone called in sick, or long-term gaps because we haven't managed to recruit enough doctors and nurses into the system. So the reliance on the agency was growing over the years, and they wanted me to look at what can we do to build an internal pool of workers, often referred to as the staff bank, but building an internal pool of workers to support filling these gaps without the need for expensive agencies. Primarily, it's a cost improvement project, but also a quality improvement to both the administrators in the hospital who would like to manage workforce in a more efficient way, and also for the workers in the hospitals and outside to be able to directly access these shifts without the need of a middleman. So I started building kind of the concepts of Patchwork early days while I was working at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. And they have become an incredible partner because we worked with them to co-design and co-produce what the product looked like. And they had, you know, supported us, whether it's with subject matter expertise or piloting certain ideas and testing certain concepts before we were able to launch to the wider NHS community. So that's kind of our original story. We end up building a product that has two main sides to it. There's the employer side and the worker side. The worker has a mobile app that they can download from any app store, Apple or Google Play, create a profile for themselves, upload all their credentials, things like their right to work, their medical degree, their GMC number, their postgraduate training, their occupational health history, vaccination history, all the kind of things that a worker, a doctor or a nurse needs to really upload onto or send to a new employer before they join the organization. then they can start viewing. Once they've been approved to join a certain organization, they start viewing and booking shifts, self-management through the app itself, and then signing off their timesheets and tracking their payments directly on the app. So it's really end-to-end, from recruitment to booking shifts to getting paid. The employer side of the product is a web-based product that does everything I said, but on the employer side. So it allows them really to manage candidates who are trying to join their organization as flexible workers, onboard these candidates in a compliant way, broadcast all their vacancies with all the rules attached to it, whether it's rate cards, who's allowed to work what shift and what shift's getting paid to what rate, and of course, approve these bookings and sign off timesheets for payment and processing them with payroll. So it's a really end-to-end system for the management of flexible workers. And I think one of the things that really helped us build a product that addressed the needs of all the stakeholders in the system is the fact that it came out of a lived experience between myself and my co-founder, who's also a doctor, who I first met him when we were both medical students at Imperial College before we went on to become junior doctors and then came back again to build this product together and this company together. So we had our own lived experiences. We spoke to many of our colleagues, but also we had the advantage and the privilege to work with NHS Trust directly, being Chelsea Westminster initially and every other trust we worked with since then, to really co-design and co-produce every single feature with them in mind. So really building something that addresses not just the workers' need, but also the employer's need.
Oh, wow. Well, that was amazing. I mean, I can't believe that you were kind of like, you know, a medical professional, like working in the NHS as a doctor, and you thought, I need to do more. You know, I need to create a business and give myself more work. That's just incredible. And the, obviously the fact that you've worked alongside the hospitals, and like you said, you've got every detail to kind of like match the consumer and works for everyone, it's an amazing story. And so you founded it with your co-founder. How long ago did you officially found Patchwork Health?
So my co-founder Jing and I first started talking about the idea in the summer of 2016. That was actually before I joined Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. So we had, you know, because that we were about to take a gap year from our training, as our postgraduate specialist training, I was going down the route of becoming an A&E doctor. And I think he was going down the route of becoming a pediatrician. And we took a year out of our training to explore other interests, as many doctors do. And by the way, I think it's worth mentioning that 60 to 65% of all doctors after the first 2 years of working as junior doctors are taking now 1 to 2 years gap years out of their training to pursue other interests. And sometimes that could be, you know, really simple things like traveling for 6 months or working in a tech company or working in a consultancy or pursuing any professional or personal passions. And we were just one of those clinicians who wanted to do the same. And we start talking about how amazing would it be to continue to work flexibly as a doctor, you know, be able to kind of do like an Uber style model, to be able to work when I can, do a few shifts here and there, so I keep my hands in medicine whilst freeing up some time to do the things I want to do. And then we kind of talked about how it's probably next to impossible to do that, because building products for the NHS or for public sector is, you know, sounds like it's too much of an uphill, and, you know, it probably will never work, and you know, all these kind of self-doubt that every entrepreneur goes through at the beginning of their journey. So we kind of parked the idea for a little bit until a few months later I joined Chelsea and Westminster Hospital and decided to do my gap year as a doctor in a hospital, not doing clinical work, but doing innovation work. And that's when the opportunity came back again. It was quite serendipitous because we already talked about it a few months back. I was at a hospital that wanted me to put my innovation hat on to help address one of their problems, which is temporary staffing and flexible working. So it felt like it was a great opportunity to come to them and say, well, actually, I've had this idea for a while now, and this might be an opportunity to work together. And I think this is kind of one advice I would give to any entrepreneur in the healthcare space. We were lucky that we managed to identify an innovation partner very early on, because the biggest obstacle in building or innovating in healthcare is really the adoption and the validation piece. Someone out there to validate that what you're doing makes sense and does solve a problem. So we kind of got lucky in that sense, but also with a bit of hard work got us there. So I think that's where you could say it's the idea started in summer of 2016, but really the business was founded on Companies House in September 2016.
Amazing. So it's been like nearly 4 years, coming up to 4 years You've obviously like founded and took the plunge. Does it feel like it's been 4 years or does it feel like it's been like 10 minutes, like a blink of the eye?
It's the fastest 4 years of my life. It's been moving at warp speed. And I think it's because it's very exciting, but also immensely challenging to build a business. Building businesses is hard. And I think it's hard anywhere. Building business in healthcare and working in a healthcare system that's primarily a public healthcare system, like the NHS, comes with its challenges. It's both rewarding because it's kind of the crown jewel of the UK. And I come originally from Canada, and in Canada we have a similar public healthcare system as well. And, you know, both as a UK resident and as a Canadian, I'm very much so proud of the public funded systems that we have in these countries. But that also comes with its challenges because you're also working with very cash strapped environment that's tax funded, where every penny and every pound needs to be spent on the right thing. And we all know that the NHS historically and unfortunately has had some bad experience procuring the wrong system. So rightly so, there was quite a lot of red tape around adopting new technologies to ensure that taxpayers' money is not going to the wrong thing, or our workforce and our patients are not given the wrong systems, or, you know, even dangerous systems if they were not well validated. So obviously it comes with its challenges, and it's been an interesting 4 years where I think we've learned a lot on the job. We were lucky to have quite a lot of supportive mentors and advisors who've helped us along the way. But it's also been immensely rewarding because I met some of the most amazing people who work with us today, NHS partners we built relationships with, doctors we've helped them along their way in their journey of flexible working. So it's been a lot more fun and rewarding than it has been painful, but it has its moments, as you can imagine, with like probably most entrepreneurs anyways.
Of course. And obviously you've spoken a little bit about your challenges and the challenge of how it is to break through into the healthcare sector and stuff. But how did you guys find funding? Was that difficult because you were in the health sector? Have you self-funded? What's your funding journey been like so far?
So we were bootstrapped in the early days, but we quite quickly managed to get some angel investments at the seed stage. And I think we came, you know how often startups are all about timing, right? And I think in 2016, and certainly in the past 4 years, the digital health space and the medtech space has been experiencing sort of a renaissance where we've seen a lot more acceptance and adoption of technologies and innovations coming out of SMEs. And I think the investors world has started to adopt to that and become more welcoming for innovative ideas for healthcare. So I think historically it's always been a challenging space to raise in. Most investment went into the life sciences element of things. So, you know, your pharma and your kind of basic science research, not as much in the digital health space. But I think we've noticed that over the years, and certainly in our time, things have headed in the right direction. We were lucky in the early days to have worked with a couple of angel investors who've seeded us enough to get us to a point where we started scaling and started working with many more NHS trusts and validating our value proposition and ensuring that what we've built is scalable. We then went out to fundraise from institutional investors. Our first institutional investor was the British Medical Journal, the BMJ. And the BMJ, which is one of the oldest and most prestigious medical journals, has a venture arm, the BMJ Ventures, New Ventures, that was pretty new in its days when we started working with the BMJ. But they have looked at the space of flexible working. They've identified the players in the space early on, and they've engaged with us because they believe in what we're doing and they believe the value we bring to them and to their own, and it's in alignment with their own values. For the ones who don't know, the BMJ is kind of the commercial arm of the BMA, the British Medical Association, which is the doctors' union. There are definitely, of course, two separate organizations, but the BMJ also appreciated that what we're trying to do in terms of serving the clinicians community, trying to bring more flexibility to them, was in line with their investment thesis as much as the commercial proposition was also in line with what they were looking for. So they were our first institutional investors in 2018. And then in 2019, late last year, we had our second institutional round. The BMJ invested again in that round, but the round was led primarily by Pretora Ventures. It's a VC up in Manchester, and I've been working with them now for 4 months since we've kind of closed that deal. It was really exciting to work with them. They've been immensely supportive. They've had some track records in the healthcare space, but they also were really excited by the fact that we had a distributed team that is half in London and half in the Northwest. And one of the investment theses, in addition to our value proposition, is the fact that we are partially Manchester and Liverpool based as well. And they want to really support businesses in the Northwest. And we actually, it's worth mentioning that we've had a few angels who have been with us throughout that journey. And I think that's important to mention, because whilst we very much so appreciate the support of the institutional investors, both Pretora and the BMJ, we've also had some big fans in the angel space who have kept on following their investors as small as might be compared to the institutional checks. They were still extremely valuable because it's a validation point. When an angel who's come in at three consecutive rounds and every single time continued to back us, it is a vote of confidence. And often, you know, nowadays they're really proud of what we're doing and what we're doing to the NHS, and they feel like by backing us in the early days and following on, they're doing their bit to support the NHS during COVID-19. So to everyone out there who's listening, I think there's value from angel investors in the C stage, but there's also value in ensuring that you look after your investors and keep engaging with them, because many of them do view their investment as more than just a commercial investment. Often it's backing an idea, backing a team, backing a concept, supporting an industry that they believe in. But also, obviously, the institutional investors tend to be the kind of investors who help us take it to the next level and help us scale significantly. And we're very grateful for all our backers to date.
Well, it just obviously proves that it's massively needed. Like, what you're doing is 100% worthwhile, and it is like massively needed. I saw that your app kind of is essential in the sense, because like NHS staff are quitting after long hours. The number has tripled in the last 6 years, I think you said to me. So first of all, how big a problem was this before the COVID-19 crisis? And then leading into the whole like corona crisis, how big a problem is that figure now? And what have you guys been doing in the space to kind of help within the COVID-19 area?
Yeah, so talking about pre-COVID-19, I call it the peacetime. During peacetime, the NHS and healthcare actually in general, so this is not really just an NHS problem, it's a healthcare problem across most Western countries, but in the UK it tends to be the NHS that we talk about, has seen a rapid rise in demand over the past decade or so, whether it's an aging population or more complex diseases and more complex services that we provide for citizens. That meant that the NHS and healthcare systems are doing a lot more than they were doing 20 years ago. And at the same time, our universities have not necessarily kept up with the demand in terms of producing the right amount of healthcare workers to match that demand. So I think there was a bit of a gap between the supply and demand for healthcare services. Now, that often meant that the existing teams who were working in the NHS were stretched thin. Hours became longer, the working environment became more stressful, and often we hear a lot about doctors and nurses being overworked and burnt out. Sadly, some of them have decided to leave the NHS altogether and move on and explore other careers. But luckily, most of them remained clinicians. What they wanted to do is just find a better balance, take back control of their hours, work a bit more flexibly, so that they remain active clinicians in the system whilst finding the time to raise a family or pursue other interests. And I think that's where a system like ours was needed, because the only opportunity many of these workers found to pursue such a flexible career is by being an agency locum. And again, that's not really the best user experience for the worker, but it's certainly not the most cost-effective for the employer, for the NHS itself. So going back to in terms of the numbers, whilst I cannot obviously generalize to every single NHS trust, the numbers we've seen from most trusts we've worked with, and we work with over 30 hospitals in the country, in the north and the south of England, as well as Wales, that somewhere between 10 to 20% of every shift in the hospital is booked by a flexible worker, bank or agency. And it kind of reflects their budgets as well. So about 10 to 20% of the pay bill of your workforce is on temporary staff, bank or agency. The rest of it is on substantive staff. So it wasn't an insignificant number. If you look at the number of sickness rates, it's somewhere between 3 to 7%. So really, the historic idea, the historically, temporary staffing was really to plug in sickness and bereavement and those last minute bookings. But clearly the fact that we have in some places up to 20% of shifts being booked by temporary workers goes to show that the vast majority of these shifts are not because of sickness, not because of bereavement or the usual reasons why people would leave for a few days. It's primarily because people are choosing that as a mode of work. And now if I speak to many of doctors and nurses, you realize quite quickly that they are not just a number in the system. They're not just a doctor or a nurse on a rota doing a day job. They're parents, they're carers for elderly parents, they are artists or musicians, they are entrepreneurs, they are world travelers and humanitarians. They're multidimensional beings who really want to pursue their full potential and achieve the self-actualization. And to do that, they found that they needed to take away some time from their day-to-day clinical work to pursue these passions. And that's a rising trend. As I said earlier, 65% of junior doctors take at least 1 to 2 years out of their usual training towards becoming a consultant. So a junior doctor spends about 10 to 12 years between medical school to becoming a consultant, training to become a specialist. They're taking about a year or two out of training to pursue some of these interests and in the meantime, work flexibly. So it was definitely a sizable problem. In terms of figures from a money point of view, a spend point of view, the NHS was spending about 3 to 5 billion pounds, if you include GPs as well, every year on temporary staff. And majority of that for medics was tend to be agencies. Using agency locums is a costly way to manage flexible workers. So there's clearly also a financial incentive to improve that process. During COVID-19, we've seen an increase, and primarily it's not because there's new gaps. Actually, in fact, we found that some of the gaps disappeared because some of the elective care has been cancelled. So any gaps in your surgical rota or your anesthetics rota might have disappeared because you're no longer operating in patients electively, and many of these workers have been redeployed elsewhere. What we found is that there was a challenge in the redeployment process. So our product is really serves more than just plugging a gap by recruiting a worker to your bank. It also helps the logistics of redeployment of your workforce. And we found that during COVID-19, many hospitals used our system to help reallocate some of these workers who are no longer doing this elective care to where they're needed in the front line. Now, we still found significant number of gaps in certain specialties like anesthetics, intensive care, A&E, mostly because of, unfortunately, some doctors and nurses picking up COVID-19 themselves and having to self-isolate at home. The numbers we're looking at is somewhere between 20 to 30% of all NHS frontline staff at any one point calling in sick or self-isolating because of a potential COVID-19. So as you can imagine, that's not an insignificant number of gaps in the rota that need to be filled by redeploying your workforce from other places in the same hospital or sometimes tapping into a wider pool of workers. So we've certainly seen the same level, if not more, of activity. And certainly in certain areas and certain specialties, we've seen a significant increase in demand for additional workforce.
Of course. And you guys have announced that the staffing solution is now freely available to all NHS trusts to help support in this time. Is that, yeah?
Yes. So what we've announced is we've created a COVID-19 specific solution that focuses on COVID-19 gaps. And we've announced that we're offering it to NHS trusts free of any cost. That includes individual trusts who want to manage their COVID-19 vacancies or groups of hospitals and NHS trusts coming together to create a shared digital COVID-19 bank of workers that they can all tap into to cover their vacancies due to COVID-19. And we've been working with many trusts and regions to implement at pace and remotely. And of course, you know, whilst we put aside all our commercials and offered it completely free of any cost, it is still a challenge to implement in this environment because our, you know, in peacetime, we would send a small team to every single trust that we're implementing with, their basic project managers and clinical engagement teams who work with the administrators to train them on the system and migrate data, and they work with the clinician body to engage with them, to download the app and onboard them to the system. All of that now is being done completely remotely on Zoom. And I'm really proud of what the team has done because we've managed to do that remarkably well. I think the NHS had to quickly adopt themselves to remote working. Many administrators are working remotely. Many of them still go into hospitals but prefer not to interact with outsiders like us for their own safety. So they were very receptive to the remote work, but that added that extra layer of challenge on top of the existing challenges. And to do that at pace. So rather than taking 4 weeks to implement, we're doing it in 2 weeks now. But that was a challenge that we're up to, and we managed to work with quite a lot of trusts, and we're really, really chuffed to see that we're able to do our part and support any way we can. And it's really nice to hear the feedback we've got from some of the partners we've been working with.
Oh, amazing. And have you really increased the number of trusts and hospitals that you've been working with since the COVID-19? Has it kind of excelled you guys? How would you describe the last, coming up 2 months now, isn't it? How would you describe that time, how that it's been for Patchwork Health?
It's twofold. So we've seen existing NHS partners, we're working with them on additional work. We're doing, you know, additional projects with them. And then, yes, we've started working with several new hospitals in the past couple of months, who most of them have been hospitals that we have been in conversation with anyways in the past, but they've wanted to accelerate that and implement support during this period. We've also seen quite a lot of interest from other hospitals. Keeping in mind, though, that many administrators are also quite busy in this period of time. So it is almost a catch-22. You need to slow down to speed up. Many of them are quite busy firefighting, so they might not have the headspace to implement a new solution, a new technology, whilst also they recognize that actually implementing that new solution might make their firefighting easier. So it's a catch-22. So it has been, whilst we have received quite a lot of strong interest, many of them are probably waiting for things to cool down before they can implement. However, several have implemented in the last period. Where we found quite a lot of interest is on regional levels. So multiple organizations who, some of them use Patchwork anyways, others don't, but multiple organizations trying to come together to create a layer of a digital bank on top of their existing resources to help support the sharing of workforce and redeployment of workforce. And we've certainly seen a significant uptick in the number of doctors downloading the app in the past couple of months. So we've seen almost 120% increase of daily downloads, many of which wanting to work with the existing organizations we've always worked with, or new organizations who have joined Patchwork in the past couple of months. So we're definitely seeing an increase, and certainly helped the fact that we were fast at rolling out our accelerated implementation program to support trust at pace.
That's incredible. 120% is amazing. It seems fair to say, from everything that you've explained to me, that we don't really have enough staff at the moment in the NHS to cope normally, especially in a pandemic like this. Coming from a doctor yourself, you've been in the situation, you've been in the environment. Is there anything that we could do change-wise? Obviously, your app being one of the tools that hopefully will change the landscape. But is there anything else we can kind of do to help plan for the future if another pandemic, God forbid, happened like this again, that we could be maybe more prepared?
Absolutely. Really good question. I'll say two things on that. The first one is, even during peacetime, as we said earlier, there is a mismatch between supply and demand. And we need to keep more doctors and nurses in the system. So we need to stop the bleed first, as well as encourage more young people to go into these professions to become doctors and nurses, so the supply is growing as well. So it's a two kind of fork approach. Make sure that we're getting more into the system, but also make sure we're not losing people once they come into the system. And fundamentally for both of them, thing that we've picked up on is more and more young people are looking for more flexible careers. And I think making flexibility at the heart of how the NHS engages with the workforce will certainly help towards addressing the supply issue. We are, of course, just an enabler in that process. Our technology is one of the technologies that could be used to enable flexible working. But it fundamentally starts with the policy level, ensuring that flexibility is no longer the exception. It's no longer just something to accommodate for a young parent who has some kids at home or someone else who has another commitment with another job, but make it more easy and make it almost the default way in some areas where workers can be flexibly scheduled from day one. And I think that would certainly help in ensuring that we have the right amount of staff engaged, excited, continue to feel rewarded by the job, but also valued by their employers rather than just a number in a rota. And I know many trusts and many regions in the country started exploring that more seriously and looking at how flexibility could be at the heart of what we do. We also saw how the NHS recently, just before the end of last year, have announced a new position, head of flexible working in the NHS, ensuring that the NHS thinks about flexibility as a primary driver for recruitment and retention of workers moving forward. So that's definitely on the peacetime side. In terms of how we can be better prepared for the next pandemic, and sadly these pandemics will happen again and again, hopefully not for many years to come, but if there's one message we can take from this, is hopefully when the dust settles on this pandemic that we are much better prepared for whatever comes next, whether it's a pandemic or any other crisis that puts pressure on the healthcare system. And I think the first one's obviously on the equipment side, ensuring that we are better prepared on PPE, ensuring we have as many redundant supply chains to bring in more PPE into the country rather than relying on supply chains that might be disrupted in a pandemic like this. So I think that's obviously an important point to remember for the next time. The other one is ensuring that our workforce can be readily redeployed where they're needed. So one of the biggest challenges is passporting in the NHS. So what passporting means often is that if I'm a doctor employed in one hospital, to be able to do a job in another hospital, I have to go through the recruitment process all over again, which means ensuring that I have my DBS checked, ensuring that I have my right to work checked, ensuring that my specialty, my grade, my skill set is being recognized. And that's a very laborious process and very frustrating for both the worker and the employer. And I think we've seen in the past few months how the lack of streamlining and lack of passporting between one hospital to the other meant that there's so much red tape and friction in the system that made it harder for workers to be quickly redeployed from one area where they're not needed as much anymore to another area where they're needed more. And I think, sadly, it's one of those things that's very hard to fix in wartime. So it's as much as many well-meaning NHS organizations and suppliers in this space tried to address this, and many are addressing it to a certain level, it's very hard to do it at scale across the entire country, across 1.5 million people who work in the NHS in an environment where you're firefighting. So I think, you know, the message to take here is once we're back to peacetime, the issue of passporting and portability of workers so they can be quickly, within hours, redeployed where they're needed the most in a seamless manner should become a priority. And I'm sure it will be, as I've heard from many NHS colleagues, as this is definitely an important area. So I think these are probably the two take-home messages for me, at least, so that we are better prepared for the next healthcare crisis.
And of course, your app can help in situations like this as well.
Of course, without shamelessly plugging the app, we're obviously keen to be part of that revolution. I think something actually to mention, there are certain areas where we might not be doing it on our own. And I think, you know, kind of another piece of advice, if I can give to any entrepreneur in the healthcare space, is identify the things that you really get at and the problem that you really want to solve, and then build partnerships alongside other startups or tech companies or innovators who can also provide value in that value chain. Because whilst we would love to do it all, there is obviously an element of focus. focusing on what we're really good at. And for that point of view, we're really good at, you know, ensuring that workers can be redeployed quickly. We're really good at the flexible working element, the recruitment element, the engagement element. But there are many other really clever people working on the identity element, the clinician's identity element, and ability to create, you know, a universal identity across the NHS where you can be passported. Some of them are using blockchain identity as a backbone to that approach. Others are using different types of distributed network systems that allow for a secure way of passporting people's credentials. And whilst we can do some elements of that, we're also partnering with some exciting innovators in the space who are focused on that in that area. And I think, you know, if we look at the trajectory of the patchwork health journey, we were born out of a partnership with hospitals, and we've always continued to build on partnerships, whether it's partnerships with NHS trusts who use our systems or partnerships with other innovators in the space. We've partnered with fintech companies who provide same-day payment, like Waystream. We partner with the BMJ to work on areas of recruitment and engagement of workers using their channels. Now, we're looking to partner, like I said, with many identity platforms that can support our efforts in passporting clinicians' credentials. And I think, you know, my advice on that is really identify partners who share your values, share your passion, but also are really good at what they're doing. And we focus on what we're really good at, and then build partnerships that deliver value to the end user. And I think that's something often missed in this ecosystem where, you know, a healthy level of competition drives SMEs to want to do it all. And I think whilst competition is always helpful to drive innovation, there's a certain element of collaboration and partnership that can be a better and faster way to deliver the value. And I think that's what we're looking at in this space.
Amazing. And talking about exciting partnerships and collaborations, do you guys have anything planned, you know, in the future, short term, COVID wise, and obviously long term? You might have had a long term plan before and then this came along and blew it all out the water. But yeah, in a good way, like, what do you guys, what is Patchwork Health's plan for the future?
Well, I think we've kind of talked about some of them. I think primarily, obviously, continue to grow in the NHS space, both in the primary care, GP space, and secondary care, hospital space. Continue to work with more and more NHS trusts to support their efforts in introducing flexible working to their workforce. So that will be our continued mission. We will continue to explore passporting with partners so that clinicians can be streamlined faster into new NHS organizations. And we'll look to do some elements of that ourselves whilst partnering with some exciting innovators out there in that space. We're looking also to work with some exciting education or medical education startups to introduce flexible training into the doctor's space. And watch this space, because we're about to announce a new partnership in the next few days with an exciting organization that is focused on supporting NHS trusts and their doctors in training and education. By working with them, we're really expanding the concept of flexible working into flexible training. So how can you be a junior doctor being trained while still working flexibly? So we're looking at expanding our offering and really becoming the one-stop shop for any healthcare worker looking for a more flexible career. We're also looking at working with different types of employers. So we've been focusing a lot on the brick and mortar employers, but we're also looking to work with telehealth and telemedicine employers who do recruit for or look for flexible workers to be able to do, you know, ad hoc shifts on their platforms and see patients using their telemedicine platform. And we're also looking for kind of new and innovative healthcare providers outside of the traditional brick and mortar. And I think there's quite a lot of exciting work to be done in that space, so that, you know, a healthcare worker can book a shift in A&E one day, book another shift in medicine the next day, then book a shift in the GP surgery the third day, and then maybe over the weekend book a couple of telemedicine shifts to see patients on another platform, all really managed on a single app that is their gateway to all types of flexible working.
Amazing. That's all so many exciting things, and we'll definitely keep an eye out for that one. Well, Anas, I could literally sit here all afternoon and talk to you, but that is all we have time for today. So thank you so much for joining us. and speaking with me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Serial Entrepreneur.